been preaching through the book of Ruth, starting at the beginning of the Advent season after Thanksgiving. Today we're coming to the last chapter, Ruth chapter 4. You can find the scripture reading on the back of the insert in your bulletins. On one side is the sermon outline, and then on the back, the scripture reading from Luke 4. I'll also be reading, Ruth 4. We'll also be reading during the sermon those other passages at the bottom. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word from Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Malhon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Malhon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Thus the reading of God's word today from Ruth chapter 4. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, it's Christmas Eve day, and what is at the forefront of your minds this morning? For many Christians on Christmas Eve, the focus is the giving of gifts. At Christmas, we remember that God gave us the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by sending him down to earth from heaven to be born at Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus was God's gift to us. And according to Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born, the wise men from the east followed the star of Bethlehem, and they brought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts to the newborn king. And so at Christmas time, we gathered together with families and friends to celebrate Christmas, and in that spirit, we share gifts and give gifts to one another. How many times haven't you heard it said during the last month that Christmas is the time or the season for giving? And while all of that is true, have you thought about the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem, giving gifts was not the focus? But when the Lord Jesus was born at Bethlehem and it was announced by the angels from heaven to the shepherds, the focus was on redemption. Listen to the words of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, when he heard the news about Jesus coming. Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69. I put those verses on the top of your outlines this morning. Zechariah said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." The prophet, upon hearing the news, speaks of the redemption, God redeeming his people. And later when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to Jerusalem for purification, listen to the response of Anna, the prophetess, when she saw the baby Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 38. "And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." What was stirring Bethlehem and Jerusalem during the time of Jesus' birth was not the giving of gifts. It was redemption and being redeemed. And so what does it mean to redeem, or that they were waiting for the redemption, as the prophetess Anna said, redemption of Jerusalem? In the Bible, the word redemption is about paying the price or buying back or purchasing someone from bondage. Because the Bible tells us that everyone is born in Adam's sin, and because everyone who was born in the first Adam's sin, everyone in the world is in bondage to sin. And so in order for anybody to be saved from their sins, you must first be bought or purchased at a price. You must be redeemed and freed from your sin and freed from your bondage to sin. And what was the redemption price before a holy and just God? A most valuable Son of God and Son of Man Savior who obeyed God's law perfectly before him because no one else can. Who was willing to suffer God's wrath and judgment by his death on the cross as a substitute to pay for the sins of all his people. And by paying the price, he bought, he purchased, he redeemed all of his people from their sins and set them free from their bondage to sin. Why did Jesus come to earth? Jesus said it in Mark 10, verse 45. I put it on your outlines this morning as well. "For even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so on Christmas Eve day, what should be first and foremost as on our minds as believers? Giving gifts is part of the celebration of Christmas. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was born from heaven to earth to redeem his people from their sins. Well, what does all of this have to do with our text this morning from the book of Ruth, chapter 4? It has everything to do with our text today from Ruth, chapter 4. Because Boaz, in Ruth chapter 4, in his redemption of Ruth, foreshadows Christ's redemption. And so what we're going to do today, instead of starting in Ruth and then going to Christ and his birth, we're first going to look at Christ and what he did, and now go back to Ruth chapter 4 and better understand and better see more richly than before what Christ has done for us in the redemption he has given. The entire last chapter of the book of Ruth is about redemption. It is about the work of a redeemer. You may remember how in the book of Ruth it began in Bethlehem in chapter 1 with a famine, and how Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons had to go to the land of Moab. And then after Naomi and loses her husband and two sons, she's left with her two daughters-in-law, and she returns back to Bethlehem at the end of the chapter with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law. It's the time of the barley harvest. In chapter 2, we see how Boaz meets Ruth for the first time, seeing her gleaning in the fields. In chapter 3, Ruth goes to the threshing floor with a request that Boaz redeem her. And now in chapter 4, at the city gates of Bethlehem, it is Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, going about the work of redemption. In Ruth chapter 4, the word redeemer and similar words such as redeem, buy back, purchase, these words are used some 15 different times in this closing chapter. It shows that the entire book of Ruth has been building up to this redemption that comes at the end. And what takes place in Ruth chapter 4? Ruth chapter 4 is about a wealthy, gracious, prospective groom who goes to the city gate of Bethlehem to redeem, that is, buy back, to purchase a poor and helpless bride who has no hope and no power within herself to be redeemed from the death that she has suffered, her husband and her father-in-law. And for us today, what Boaz does in Ruth chapter 4 is an Old Testament picture and foreshadowing of what God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down to earth to do, to redeem his bride, the church. God inspired the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 to use that exact imagery of Christ and the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to give himself for his church, his bride. He came to earth, he was born in Bethlehem to redeem his bride. You see, the book of Ruth is a love story, but it's not just a love story that would make a great Christmas movie. A woman who's lost her husband, who's lost her father-in-law, who's left with her widowed mother-in-law meets a wealthy man as she's gleaning in the fields, and they fall in love, and they get married, and live happily ever after. We see these kinds of stories in Christmas movies all the time. But the book of Ruth, you see, is a love story that God has placed in his word to point us to foreshadow for us, to help us see in an even fuller and richer way what Christ the bridegroom would someday do when he came to earth to redeem his bride, the church. And so the story of Ruth and Boaz is like looking in a mirror to see what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do for his church and for all of us when he came to redeem us. In the Old Testament, Boaz from Ruth chapter 4, he is showing us how he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, an Old Testament type who came to redeem Ruth and Naomi, but a type of the Christ to come who redeems all of his people. And today we're going to see it in two ways. First, in his qualifications, how Boaz is a type of Christ, and then in the type of redemption that Boaz came to purchase. And all of this will help us see and better understand the redemption that Christ has given to us. So let's start with the qualifications this morning. Qualifications of a redeemer. The first qualification for a redeemer that we see in Ruth chapter 4 is that the redeemer had to be a kinsman or a close relative. In chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, Ruth and Naomi have come back to Jerusalem. They have lost their husbands. And according to God's Old Testament law in Leviticus 25, verse 25, when it comes to the land of the inheritance, the law states, I put that verse on the back of your outlines today, Leviticus 25, 25, if your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then the nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. And then in Ruth chapter 4, verse 3, we learn that Boaz has said to the redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative, Naomi. You see, they are following what God had prescribed in Leviticus 25, 25, that a redeemer would have the opportunity to purchase the land of Naomi's dead husband. And so the kinsman redeemer, the nearest relative, has the first right to redeem this property for her. But the land is not that is all to be redeemed in Ruth chapter 4. According to God's Old Testament covenant law in Deuteronomy 25 verse 5, when it comes to the widow, we read, if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son whom she bears shall succeed to the name of the dead brother, and his name may not be blotted out from Israel. And so the nearest kinsman redeemer has the right to marry the widow and to redeem her and to redeem the land. And so in Ruth chapters 2 and 3, we read about how Naomi recognized that Boaz was a close relative and how Boaz qualified as a redeemer, though he was not the closest relative. And so how do we see the qualifications of Boaz as a redeemer in our Savior, the Lord Jesus? When the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem, he was born as one of our kinsmen. The Lord Jesus was born of a woman. He was placed in a manger. And that means he was human flesh like us. A son of man, the Lord Jesus Christ, was our kinsman, born of Mary, which qualified him to redeem a kinsman like Boaz. A second qualification for a redeemer from Ruth chapter 4 is that the redeemer has to be able to pay the redemption cost. When Naomi came back from the land of Moab with Ruth, her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth was sent out to glean in the fields in chapter 2 with the poor. In chapter 4, verse 3, we read that Naomi has put her husband's land up for sale, so they can have the financial means to live, even though it may mean she will lose her husband's land inheritance in Israel. And so they are looking for a kinsman redeemer who has the wealth to purchase the land for them and to redeem it for them. And so Boaz, a kinsman, has the means and is able to pay the redemption cost and set them free. How do we see the qualifications of Boaz as a redeemer in our Savior, the Lord Jesus? When it comes to redemption before God, Jesus, as the Savior Redeemer, is alone able to pay for all the sins of his people. When the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew 1, verse 20, he said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You see, when Jesus was born to Mary at Bethlehem, Joseph and Mary knew that he had been conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. She was a virgin. And so when Jesus was born, he was both then fully God and fully man. That is what uniquely qualified him to be the Redeemer. If Jesus were just a man and had been perfectly obedient man to God's law, he may have been able to die on the cross and pay for the sins of maybe just one other man. But having been conceived by the Holy Spirit, he was born as fully God, and he was fully man. And as Son of God, who was fully God, he is able and valuable enough to be a sacrifice, to die on the cross and pay for the sins of all of his people. Not just one, all of his people. As a redeemer, Jesus Christ alone was uniquely qualified and able as a Son of God to redeem his people from their sins. A third qualification for a redeemer we see in Ruth chapter 4 is that the Redeemer had to be willing to redeem. In chapter 3, when Ruth went to Boaz at the threshing floor and asked him if he would be willing to redeem her, Boaz told her that he would be willing, but that there was a closer relative than he, and that he needed to find out first if this relative would be willing to redeem her first. And so in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we read that Boaz got right on it. The next morning he went to the city gate of Bethlehem. And we read in verses 1 and 2, "Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. Then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down. And then in verses 3 and 4, we read that he said to the Redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative, Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.'" And so this kinsman redeemer, the closest kinsman, is willing, he says, to redeem the land. This would be according to Leviticus 25:25, the passage I read a moment ago. "If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then the nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold." Naomi is selling her husband Elimelech's land, and this Redeemer is the closest relative to Elimelech, and he has said he is willing to redeem it. But then Boaz adds in verse 5, "Then Boaz said, 'The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance.'" In other words, Boaz is telling the Redeemer, the nearest Redeemer, if you buy the field, Deuteronomy 25 verses 5 and 6 applies as well. "If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the dead man shall not be married outside the family to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her and take her as his wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And the first son who she bears shall succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel." And so Boaz is letting him know that according to the law, if you acquire the land, redeem the land, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite as your wife. And if she has a son, the oldest son will inherit the land that you purchased and redeemed on behalf of Elimelech, so his name will not be blotted out in Israel. And in verse 6, the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, there's a debate in the commentaries as to whether this was a good thing or a bad thing that the nearest redeemer is responding with. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that he's not willing to redeem? Some of the commentators conclude that he may have had a legitimate financial reason for not being willing. His own inheritance would be in jeopardy if a son was born and the son inherited the land that he had purchased. But notice, he was willing to redeem the land, according to Leviticus 25, as long as the land would become his own, but he was not willing to marry Ruth, according to Deuteronomy 25, when he found out that the oldest son that would be born would mean that the land would go back to the household of Elimelech. And so the closest kinsman redeemer concludes he would not be able to take the financial loss. Does this mean that he has a legitimate reason for not being willing? Would it have really impaired his own inheritance, as he said? We have no verse that specifically tells us this information. But what we do see is how the author of the book of Ruth, inspired by God, lets us know something more about him in a way that indicates what he did wasn't right. The book of Ruth is a book of the Bible that is full of names. All those involved in the story throughout are specifically named. Elimelech, the husband of Naomi. Malchon and Chilion, their two sons who died. Naomi, the widow. Orpah and Ruth, widows in Moab and Boaz. From the beginning, this man's name in Ruth chapter 4 is not given. He is simply called the Redeemer. And when you come to the end of chapter 4, you see a genealogy that gives the list of descendants from Boaz and Ruth. A list that ends with King David. And this closest Redeemer who wasn't willing is not found in the genealogy. This nameless man who's not included in the history of redemption drops out of the Bible because he is a redeemer who is not willing to redeem. And yet, in contrast to him, we have Boaz. Boaz, who also was a kinsman. Boaz, who has the financial means. He is able. And Boaz, who is willing to redeem. It was Boaz who said to Ruth in chapter 3 that when she came to him at the threshing floor, "Do not be afraid, for I will redeem you," because not only was it the right thing to do before God, but also because his heart had turned towards her in love because of her love for God that he saw at work in her heart. And so in chapter 4, in contrast to the unwilling kinsman redeemer, we read of Boaz, who is a willing kinsman redeemer. And do you see how in the qualifications of Boaz as a redeemer, do you see our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you see in Boaz what the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do for you and for all of his people in order to purchase you, in order to buy you, in order to redeem you as a redeemer? He had to be willing. He had to be willing to pay the price for your sins. And what was that price? He had to be willing to go to the cross and give of himself as a sacrifice and to die on the cross and pay for the sins of his people. Jesus was a willing redeemer, even at the cost of his own life, when it was put before him, before the Father, to suffer and die on the cross to redeem his people. Unlike the nameless redeemer in Ruth 4, Jesus didn't say, "You know, that's going to cost me too much. That could cost me my life. that could cost me a long life and impair my earthly inheritance here in this world. Jesus was willing to give his life and go to the cross and to die to redeem his bride, the church. He was willing. And those are the qualifications of Boaz in Ruth 4. The qualifications of a redeemer that foreshadow the qualifications of our Savior who redeemed his people when he came to earth. The one greater than Boaz. And that brings us then to point C on your outlines, whereby which we see from Ruth chapter 4 through Boaz not only the qualifications which our Savior fulfilled, but the type of redemption that our Savior purchased for us. First, Ruth chapter 4 tells us that this was a lawful and public redemption. Now you may remember from Ruth chapter 3 that at the threshing floor, when Ruth went to Boaz and asked him to redeem her, he indicated that he was willing to redeem her. But wait, there is a kinsman, Boaz tells her in chapter 3, that is closer than I, and we first have to see if he is willing to redeem you. He has that right first. And so the next morning, Boaz goes to the gates of Bethlehem. And through this whole process, you can see that Boaz wants to make sure that he is following God's law all the way through. And because there was no courthouse in Bethlehem like we have in our towns and cities today, if there were legal matters to deal with that had to take place during the time of the judges, it would take place at the city or the town gate. And so that's why we read in verses 1 and 2, Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, a redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. And Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, and sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." And they sat down. Don't you see what our text is telling us about Boaz? In verse 1, Boaz sees the nearest redeemer, and he asks him to sit down, and he sits down. And then in verse 2, Boaz takes not just two witnesses that the law required, but the 10 elders of the city. And he told them the same thing he said to the redeemer. Sit down. And they sat down. The repetition shows us that Boaz is leading this. When he asks for the 10 elders of the city to sit down and not just two, he's going to make sure that what takes place is completely public, that all the town and all the city would know. There will be no doubt down the road about this redemption that takes place. And when the nearest relative declares in verse 6 that he does not want to redeem Ruth and Naomi for himself. In verses 7 and 8, Boaz makes sure that what the nearest kinsman redeemer has decided is publicly known. Verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. The sandal was the symbol that the land he had walked on with his sandals, or the land that had been proposed to him that he could have walked on with his sandals, that land now and the right to purchase it was being given over to Boaz. A public symbol. The custom in those days so that all the town would know that Boaz is the one to redeem. And then in verse 9 we read, then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Malon." Boaz has bought and redeemed the land. But then in verse 10, Boaz goes on to say, "Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Malon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. Boaz then has redeemed the land. Boaz now has redeemed Ruth and Naomi, all according to God's law. And what Boaz does, what takes place, all takes place in public at the gate of the city with the 10 elders and all the people as witnesses to this redemption. Do you see in Boaz the type of redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for you? To purchase your redemption in the land, the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly obeyed God's Old Testament law. He lived his life in perfect obedience unto God and his law. And when he redeemed you, he went public for you, so there would be no doubt about the redemption that he purchased. He went before the chief priests and the Jewish high priest. He went before Pilate, the governor of the land. They crucified him and brought him outside of the city to the hill of Calvary, where he was publicly crucified on the cross for all the world to see. And when God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross to pay for the sins of his people, he didn't just like disappear. We didn't hear from him again. And then hear about it later. The redemption that Jesus brought, the redemption that Jesus, the greater than Boaz, purchased for his people, took place in full public view before heaven and earth and hell for everyone to see. Even the sky was darkened, and all of heaven and earth knew that this was God's Son that died on the cross to pay for the sins of his people. And the world was the witness of this redemption, just as in a smaller way, all of Bethlehem was a witness of the Old Testament type of redemption when Boaz redeemed Ruth and Naomi legally and publicly at the city gate. And that brings us to the second way that Ruth chapter 4 tells us it was a type of the redemption to come. The redemption of Ruth and Naomi by Boaz was a life restoration redemption. When Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem from Moab, they had lost everything. Naomi said at the end of chapter 1, "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. I am too old to marry. I'm too old to have a child. I have no husband, and my sons have died." And now at the end of chapter 4, Naomi is with the women of Bethlehem again. And now look what the women say to Naomi in verses 14 and 17. "Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him the name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' And they named him Obed." At the end of the book of Ruth, the women recognize that God has used the kinsman redeemer Boaz to restore life to Naomi through her grandson Obed as the male heir. Look again at what the women say in verse 15. "He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Naomi has gone from death and the potential of her family line being cut off from the land of Israel to having a grandson who is for her a restorer of life in Israel. And do you see in Boaz and Obed and Naomi the type of redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased for you? When you were born in this world, you were lost in Adam's sin. You were born in Adam's sin and in bondage to sin, and the wages of sin is death. You had no hope as a sinner. No hope. Only set before you was God's wrath and eternal judgment that you deserve for your sin. But when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was born at Bethlehem, the salvation he came to bring was life restorative. As your kinsman redeemer, he took your sin upon himself, and he died on the cross to pay for it. And then after he was buried, he rose from the grave to give you victory over sin and death. By his death and resurrection, your Redeemer too took you who were dead in sin and restored life to you and to all of his church. By paying the price, he redeemed you. He purchased you. He brought you back into a relationship with him and his Father. In a greater way than Boaz did for Ruth and Naomi, the Lord Jesus Christ has brought you back into the family of God. Ruth and Naomi were now members of the people of Israel through the Redeemer Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again and has given you restorative life, has brought you as a believer into the family of God and into the inheritance of eternal life in the land of heaven. A third way that Ruth chapter 4 shows you a type of Christ's redemption is that it was a joyful redemption. And there's no better way to express that joy than in a relationship, a love relationship of a groom and his bride. In order for Boaz to be a kinsman redeemer in Ruth chapter 4, it had to cost him something. For the first rightful kinsman redeemer, who was the closest relative, that cost was too great. Once put before him what it would cost, he decided he didn't want to redeem. He didn't want to bear the cost. But for Boaz, there is no sadness in the purchase of Naomi and Ruth's redemption. When he sees Ruth out in the field in chapter 2, he sees and he has heard about what God has been doing and what God has done in her heart. He admires her in the Lord and protects her in chapter 2. In chapter 3, when Ruth comes to him at the threshing floor and asks him to be her redeemer, there is no reluctance on his part. Well, I don't know what that's going to cost. He tells her if she first must ask the closest redeemer, and if he doesn't want to, he enthusiastically responds, "I will redeem you." And while Ruth is waiting at the end of chapter 3, Naomi knows it won't take long. The next morning, Boaz gets right on it. He goes to the city gate. He sees the kinsman redeemer, the closest redeemer. He brings him to the city gate. Boaz, when the kinsman redeemer is not willing, he gladly pays the cost of redemption because he loves his bride and he wants her all to himself. It was a joyful redemption. And do you see in Boaz the Lord Jesus Christ and his joyful love for you to redeem you? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to redeem his church, he paid the redemption price by going to the cross. But he went, Hebrews 12:2 tells us, with the joy that was set before him. It was going to cost him death on the cross. That was the price to be paid to purchase the redemption of his church, of his bride. But he did it with joy because he wanted to be with his bride. He wanted to restore that relationship with his bride. This is a joyful husband-bride relationship. A relationship that the greater kinsman redeemer enjoys in heaven and someday will enjoy in heaven with his bride forever. Boaz and Ruth shows us the joyful redeemer in the redemption he purchases and brings. A fourth way that Ruth chapter 4 is a type of Christ's redemption in that it was a particular redemption. You notice that Boaz did not redeem every poor person in the town of Bethlehem that was gleaning in his field. But Boaz saw Ruth in the field. She stood out because God's Spirit had drawn her to him. And when she came to him at the threshing floor with the request that he redeem her, Boaz went to the city gate to redeem only two particular people. Boaz went to redeem and pay the redemption cost for Ruth and Naomi. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Not all people, his people from their sins. Jesus did not come to earth to save every sinner from the world. Jesus came to save the people from their sins, his people. Jesus came to die on the cross to redeem his bride. He said to his disciples in John chapter 10, "I lay down my life for the sheep, my sheep." Out of everyone born in this world who's a slave and in bondage to sin, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means it has happened particularly. He particularly chose you. As Boaz went to the gate as the Redeemer and said, "I'm here to redeem Naomi and Ruth," the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed his people. And if he's redeemed you, he's redeemed you by name, particularly. And finally, a fifth way that Ruth chapter 4 is a type of Christ's redemption is that it is a child, future son of David redemption. At the end of chapter 4, we see that Boaz drops out of the story, even as the Redeemer. The women say in verse 14 that for Naomi, the child is the redeemer. Because for Naomi, the oldest male child will someday inherit Elimelech, her husband's inheritance. And then at the end of the chapter, all the focus is on the baby born at Bethlehem. Verse 16 reads, "Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name along saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father, David." And then you see the bracketing that takes place at the end of verse 17 and the end of verse 22. In verse 22, it ends, "He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." Verse 22, the last verse of the book reads, "Obed fathered Jesse, Jesse fathered David." A bracketing of the names, and sandwiched in between is the lineage. The lineage that goes from Perez all the way to David. A lineage which is part of God's redemptive plan of salvation. Boaz is not the Savior of all of God's people. Boaz redeemed Ruth. Boaz redeemed Naomi. The Lord blessed them with a son, Obed, who is in the line for the Savior of the world to come. And as you look at those closing verses, verses 18 through 19, there is a doubling of the names. Look at those verses. Perez. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. Jesse fathered one name, David. For a book that starts out during the time of the judges when everyone does what is right in their own eyes, this is a book that ends with a baby in Bethlehem. A baby that is born, that is in the lineage of the king that is to come, the king that stands out, the king by which it all ends, David. So many of you have said to me during the Judges series, doesn't it seem like we live in the time of Judges today? We are so thankful for the book of Ruth because it's the bridge to the king. And yet, in this lineage that ends with David, we see our hope that lies in the child that was born at Bethlehem, a lineage that flows through the Old Testament King David, a lineage that ends in the Son of David, the Son of God. The hope for Ruth and Naomi, the hope for Israel in the book of Ruth was the child to be born. And the salvation that would be accomplished through the lineage that ends with the king. The hope for God's people today is the fulfillment of that lineage that ends in the Son of God, Son of David. The King of Kings who was born at Bethlehem. The King of Kings who redeemed not just Naomi and Ruth, two people, but redeemed all of his people for salvation and eternal life. Gift giving is an important time for Christmas. But don't lose sight of the redemption that Jesus the Savior came to bring. Listen to the words of our closing hymn, the first verse. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who has come. We rejoice, Lord, in the redemption that he has purchased for us and for all of his people. Father, we are humbled when we look at this Old Testament story and we see our Savior and the greater redemption that he has brought for us. Father, we recognize that we are lost in sin and sinners without him. We are thankful for our Redeemer, who has purchased us and given us salvation and eternal life. May we find ourselves in the King of Kings, the Son of David, Son of God. May our hopes rest in him. May the joy that we have in our hearts be that we are in relationship with him, and he has given us an inheritance which is not of this world, but an inheritance which is forever in heaven with him. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.